woman was a dream I had, though rather hard to keep. For when my eyes were watching hers, they closed, and I was still asleep. For when my hand was holding hers, she whispered words and I awoke. And faintly bouncing round the room, the echo of whomever spoke. And I awoke, and faintly bouncing round the room, the echo of whomever.
Hi, everybody.
Spoke.
Welcome to a long time coming episode of Our Past Could Be Your Life.
Yes, you've been waiting for this one.
I've been waiting for it. I don't know if anybody else has.
I think everyone has been waiting for it.
You asked. Nobody asked for it, but you're getting it anyway. I made Jeff listen to Fish.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Fish. So I guess I was slightly hesitant to do this episode, not because
you suggested it.
Yeah, I know. But when I mean it was, it's been your idea this whole time, though.
I know, but I wanted to wait until the 100th.
that just seems so far away. I wanted to like get it over with, basically.
Okay, you didn't want it looming.
Exactly. I mean, this has been a heavy burden to bear on my shoulders. For the entire time that we've been doing this.
You're just drawing, man. She's gonna make me listen to all these goddamn Fish records.
But yeah, I was hesitant to do this, not because I didn't think I would like Fish, because I'm an open-minded guy.
I'm pretty sure you knew that you weren't gonna like Fish.
Well, okay.
Come on.
But I wasn't sure that they necessarily fit in with our show's MO. And you told me that.
I said they have been played on alternative radio.
And on college radio and stuff.
They have a heavy college following.
Sure. And sure enough, I go on RYM, and one of the tags for the band is alternative rock.
So there you go. Same chart as the Pixies and Pavement.
Who am I to argue with RYM?
Exactly. Remember when they tried to make hero metal a thing? This is a joke. Because there's a thing called Viking metal, and there's power metal, and like there's like these very strange, extremely specific subgenres of metal, a bunch of people, and I voted for, I wasn't involved in the creation of, came up with the genre of hero metal, which is very epic, soaring metal about heroes. Like so, kings and wizards
so,
and heroes.
So what bands were they proposing would be a part of hero metal?
I don't remember.
Like Blind Guardian?
I think that was one of them, yeah. Yeah, that was that was 2011.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
But yeah, even apart from genre, even if we're not going to call Fish alternative rock, you know,
yeah, they're a jam band, but they're a cult band.
Exactly.
I think that's important.
The way that they do exist kind of outside the mainstream and have this sort of weird, passionate little following, despite having no real mainstream airplay or.
Well, that's not necessarily true. They had a couple of songs that were like kind of minor hits.
I never heard them.
You never heard Bouncing Around the Room?
No.
Never heard Heavy Things?
No. Like, you heard those songs on the radio?
No, but I've heard that they've been on the radio.
Well, I'm just saying, I had never.
I haven't listened to the radio in 12 years.
Wow.
Probably. I don't know.
I listen to the modern rock station when I drive to and from work because I want to know what the kids are into these days.
Sure.
But we've talked a little bit about your thing for Fish on previous episodes, but maybe give us the full picture here because I think we've only gotten sketches.
Okay. Well, you may also know that I'm also a Grateful Dead fan.
Right.
And actually, a lot of people that like Fish don't like the Grateful Dead, and vice versa.
Is that
because they are very different. They're very different. The Grateful Dead is a lot more based in like country and roots rock and blues and different stuff like that. Fish is more like Frank Zappa-y.
Okay.
More jazz based, and definitely more inspired. Like
more jazz based, I would say that.
More jazz based. But... Well, Frank Zappa is pretty goddamn jazz based.
Yeah, but
don't argue with me, man.
Okay.
And Fish were also really inspired by Talking Heads and like Velvet Underground and a lot of other stuff that's like good that we agree on.
Sure.
And so the very different bands and their styles of jamming are very different, but I really love them both.
Which one do you like better?
I kind of got to say Fish. Yeah. I have more of a thing with them. Like, in high school, my oldest brother, my half-brother, he gave me a bunch of CDs that he gave me Discipline by King Crimson, Sandinista by The Clash, I think London Calling also, and he gave me A Picture of Nectar by Fish. And that was my favorite out of all of them.
Oh.
I never thought that would happen. I know. Well,
so how old were you at this point?
14, 15. Okay. I think 15. I was in high school. So I think I was 15. And I just like, and I was also a huge, like, I was pretty heavy into Frank Zappa by this point. And there's a lot of similarities between Fish and Frank Zappa, and I'll talk about.
I can think of a big one.
That they're not good.
Well, we'll get there.
Yeah, and so like throughout high school, I was just like obsessed with Fish, and just like
so,
I don't know.
So you were one of those people.
I was one of the not in a different way though. Like I can't. And I still can't really. I can actually do it more now, but I still can't. Like, I'm not like, oh, well, their jamming in 98 was not as good as, you know, 95. And their post, their first hiatus, after their first hiatus, they never got it back. Like, I'm not like that inside baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more so than I was then, but it was like that. Then and now, really. It was just about the songs. It was just about just really listening and really being able to concentrate and just like this, just having this stuff in my brain. It's music that helps me to focus.
Yeah.
On things. I listen to Fish when I have to get shit done and I get it done because it just helps me. Okay. I don't know why. And it also like it has its own like world. There's characters. There's this whole like kind of story of Gamehenge
mythology.
Yeah, this mythology of Gamehenge, all that stuff, and that's just like designed for people to get obsessed with it.
Yeah, to be nerdy about.
Yeah, and I was in fucking high school, and I was a fucking nerd, and this thing came along, so of course I was going to get obsessed with it.
Right.
So that's my fishery.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give my fishery now.
Okay.
So up until a few months ago, I had never heard a single note of Fish's music. Like,
okay.
I had literally just, I'd never heard it. Not even a little bit. And
I remember those days.
And, you know, I had always just assumed that they were terrible. Because, the people that were into them also tended to be into other terrible music. So they tended to be people that I did not associate with in general. Like, yeah. You know,
like white dudes with dreadlocks.
Right, exactly. Like bro hippies, you know?
Yeah, like I don't talk to other Fish fans like ever, except for my one friend Harvey,
yeah,
who like is kind of like me. Like he likes Fish, but he's not like a Fish lifer.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, like, but, yeah. I don't know, you know, like the kinds of people that are like basically bros, but they also wear like a puka shell necklace and shit.
Are like, people still wearing those?
Well, this was mid-2000s that I'm talking about here.
They were still wearing those?
Back then they were, yeah.
Damn.
I remember motherfuckers in puka shell necklaces.
Oh my god. I remember thinking those were so cool when I was like 6. I really wanted one.
But yeah, it was always those dudes in the fish shirts. And I assumed that they were terrible. And, you know, just the whole idea of jamming was not something I was into, you know. I was into punk rock, man. Like, I wanted that shit fast and short, and that's how I liked it. But, I actually heard Fish for the first time by listening to Analyze Fish, the podcast with Harris Whittles and Scott Aukerman. And
that got me back into it. I hadn't listened to them for years, and then that podcast like started, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This band is actually great.
And, you know, I heard the clips of the songs that they would play on that show, and I didn't like them.
Mm-hmm.
And I continued to assume that Fish was a terrible band that I would not like.
Okay.
And then this came around, and I listened to all of the Fish that you assigned me.
Yeah.
And
it was a lot.
You know, I gotta say, I hate Fish. They're a terrible band. I loathe them. If ever there was music that is not for me, it is Fish. So, you know, and I'm not saying you should judge music without having listened to it, but I'm just saying in this case, I was absolutely right.
Right. Like, you can tell when stuff isn't for you.
Yeah.
Which I think is valid. Like, I know that... I don't know. I know that, like, Train... Like, that's not for me.
Train.
I don't know. Like, there's others.
Train is for no one.
Red House Painters.
Okay,
there you go. Red House Painters is not for me.
Yeah.
It's just, it's sad dick music.
Yeah.
For dudes. And, yeah, it's just, like, I have no entry point to that music, and I don't like it. And I would train myself for 20 years in isolation if it meant I could punch Mark Kozelek in the face just one time.
Man, the new Sun Kill Moon album has some jams on it, though, I must say.
Hey, you know what else has some jams on it? Picture an Actor, bro.
Oh, man. look, you know what my big beef with this band is? Like... I feel like they're always sort of...
They're too happy?
Well, that may be a part of it, because my music taste tends to skew toward the sad and angry.
Sure.
But I feel like they're always sold as, like, a psychedelic band, you know? Like, this is a band that you do drugs to.
Right, they've never been that for me.
Right, well, like... I don't understand how they're that for anybody. Like, they're sonically, they're an extremely conservative band. Like,
I definitely disagree with that.
They're sonically? Really? You think this is anything more than, like, boring ass roots rock shit? Like,
not roots rock.
This is Hootie and the Blowfish with 20 minute guitar solos.
It's not, though.
It really is.
It's so not.
Ah, oh, man.
Oh my god, no, I don't think it's musically conservative at all. Like, I'm not, okay, they're not Sonic Youth. Like, Sonic Youth completely reinvented how guitar is played.
Uh-huh.
And shit like that. It's not, you know, it's not Sacred Trust. It's not even Black Flag. I know that. They're not Greg Ginn over here. But I don't think it's musically conservative. I think it is interesting. I'm not saying you have to open your heart to it, because I know that, like, you're not going to like Fish, and that's fine. I'm never going to like Smashing Pumpkins. but, like, it's... Smashing I mean, I think that... I think that the music is structurally interesting. I think that the jams are really interesting. I mean, they have, like, there are jams that aren't.
Look, if you find what they do, like, I mean, what they do is interesting, I guess, but I'm just talking about, like, the building blocks of their sound are very boring to me. Like,
I still disagree.
It's all just, like, acoustic guitars and pianos and organs and shit. Like,
I will say that occasionally Paige, the keyboard player, like, sometimes I do think that he needs to, like, dial it back a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's only when he's playing, like, the baby grand piano. When he's playing, like, a Moog or something, then I like it. I think that's just because I don't like pianos that much.
Yeah.
But I can still get into it, and I don't know. Like, I think a song like Reba or something. I don't see how that's conservative. Like, I can see where you think it's annoying, but I think that it's structurally interesting. I think that the guitar work is really good. It's not like, and I'm going home to Georgia, and the dolphins make me cry. It's not that, you know. It's about a girl making, like...
Dolphins make me cry.
Don't you remember that video?
That's from I Only Want to Be With You, right?
Yeah, that's
and like, the dolphins make me cry.
That's like one of their two songs.
Oh, shit. Sorry, I just... You brought back a lot of memories singing that line.
It's potent stuff, you know?
Did I listen to that song, Reba?
Yeah,
I don't...
Reba?
What's it on?
On the New Year's Eve concert.
Oh, okay. Well, it probably blended in with all the other fucking boring songs.
I'm sure it did. But you didn't like you didn't like Punch You in the Eye?
Not really. Maybe there's I don't know. Like I find these little moments that I like okay, but they disappear quickly. I don't know. And here's the other thing. I don't know how much I'm going to be able to even contribute to this episode. This music just washes over me. Like, I have very little, I can't provide coherent analysis of any kind.
What about the studio stuff? Can you talk about that a little bit?
I guess.
Should we talk about Junta, their first...
Yeah, we can talk about Junta.
The song Fee is terrible. I know that song is terrible.
Yeah.
I kind of like it in the way that, like, it's like, oh, it's cute because it sucks. Like, mm-hmm. Something like that. But, I pretty much like all the other songs on this. I really love Fluffhead. And Fluff's Travels. Like, I really love that. I like the studio version of You Enjoy Myself a lot. Like, that's one of their big, like, epic...
Yeah, that's the one they always, like, push over 20 minutes when they play it live.
Oh, yeah.
I do like the little bit of that song where it's like... You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
But then they only do that for, like, 20 seconds. And then the rest of the song is, like, 33 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Drive me to Firenze.
Wash your face and drive me to Firenze.
Oh, I mean, wash your face and drive me to Firenze.
Wash your face and drive me to Firenze.
Yeah. So you don't like Fluffhead?
No.
You don't like the part of Fluffhead where it's like, boozy, groggy, God, I'm tired. I'm sorry. It's like 10 o'clock, and I was crying the whole way home from school. But, yeah, that part, you don't like that part?
No. Isn't that the part that Scott played for Harris on that episode, too?
Yeah, because
I remember.
Like, turn the shit off.
I remember, because I had the exact same reaction as Scott.
No,
when he played that bit, I was just like, what the fuck is this?
No, I love that so much.
Oh, man.
I really do. Okay, I heard this when I was like 15, and I was really into Frank Zappa, all right?
Okay.
And I made a lot of apologies for a lot of subpar Frank Zappa material. So, but I still love Fluffhead. Fluffhead is one of their best songs, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's your problem with them, is that Fluffhead is one of their best songs.
It's all downhill from Fluffhead.
Yeah.
You
didn't like Esther, the kind of like circusy song?
No.
No?
No.
That's a, that's like, a song they...
I did like this Foam. Foam's the one that sounds kind of like dissonant.
Yeah, and they're falling into a deep well. That one.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
The like broken chords.
Yeah,
kind of playing.
They
on
don't
the piano.
Get dissonant very often, but I always really enjoy it when they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
I mean, these guys. I think they. Are obviously great musicians. I'm not taking that away from them.
No, take it away. Take it away.
You know what? Fish are not great musicians.
Yeah, fuck.
I've just decided that, and so that's official now.
Yep, they suck now.
Yeah.
I also want to. I want to say, like, we're talking today about a very narrow period of Fish.
Yeah, because I mean.
I really only know their 90s material. I've heard their later studio albums. They're all awful. Like, Round Room, that shit's fucking horrible.
I remember when that came out, because that was like when I was in high school, and fucking everyone was excited about it.
About Round Room? Yeah. Which is fucking garbage.
I think that was also the year fucking A Bigger Bang by the Rolling Stones came out.
I
seem to remember people being excited about that.
People
also.
Were excited about that.
And it's like, why?
Fuck?
Why would you want to listen to a Rolling Stones album?
Like, in like 2005.
Right.
Like, and I like the Rolling Stones, but it's over. They're not going to be good again.
It's over.
They're not going to make fucking Exile on Main Street because they're old as fuck and should probably die soon.
Probably die soon.
Well, I don't mean should, but they will.
Yeah, I mean, how fucking old is Mick Jagger now?
I don't think he's as old as you think. I think he's 70.
70?
Like, yeah. Like, he seems like he should be older, but I don't think he is.
Well, I guess they were pretty young when the band started.
Yeah. Yeah, they were young pups.
All right.
So were Fish. They were like 20.
Oh, yeah?
Well, something like that. I don't know. In their early 20s.
So, like, they were influenced by, like, alternative rock also, in addition to, like...
Oh, yeah. They, they covered,
Yeah, I know they covered Remain in Light.
And it was great.
Was it?
Yes, of course it was great. It's fucking Fish doing Remain in Light. Of course it's great.
But those two are not, like... A match that comes to mind, necessarily.
I disagree.
Why?
I disagree. Especially on Remain in Light. I disagree.
Well, I guess I get it in the sense that it's like groove-based music, you know?
Right.
But it's not groove-based music for, like, solos, though. Like,
well, Fish do band-based jamming also. It's not just solos.
Well,
like, they...
I guess, like, Remain in Light is almost all about, like, texture and rhythm to me. And those aren't...
Well,
and texture is the least interesting thing about Fish. So that's, I guess,
actually,
why...
Yeah, actually, now that you say that, I kind of agree.
Yeah, exactly. I'm right about this.
Yep, you're right. Fish are terrible. Sorry, I wish you
All right, folks. Well, that was our fish episode.
Yeah. But do you want to talk about A Picture of Nectar? I had you listen to three studio albums.
Yes.
I had you listen to Junta, A Picture of Nectar, and Billy Breeze, because those are my three favorites.
Okay.
I think Picture of Nectar is great. It's got Cavern. It's got Gwela Papyrus, which I know it's stupid because I know it's got this stupid white person reggae beat, but I love it.
So
anyway.
Many of their songs have that.
That's like the main one, though.
There's so much white boy funk all over fucking Fish. Like,
I mean,
it's
okay.
Gross. Like,
I mean, I know.
Get it away from me.
But I don't think, like, I think that they're doing their own thing with it. Like, that they're not Parliament.
Right.
Like, I feel like they're trying to do their own thing.
They're playing a specifically white boy brand of funk here.
Sure, yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah, remember that Wild Cherry classic, play that funky music, white boy?
I do.
They took it to heart.
Yeah.
This also has Stash, which is a great song. One of my favorite Fish songs. I, you know, the line, yanked on my tunic and dangled my sash makes me think it might be about teabagging, but I have no idea what any of Fish's lyrics are about. I don't think they're about anything.
Do you find their sense of humor, like, funny?
I don't find it funny. No, I don't think they're funny, but I don't think they're trying to be funny. Like, I think they're trying to, like, just have, like, a sense of, like, place and, like, characters and stuff. And I do like that. I still like that. I don't, mm-hmm. like, it's not genius or anything, but it's just, like, another thing I think is interesting. I think, like, the whole idea of Gamehenge, like, this magical land with the talking, like, a helping friendly book and all, like, I know it's stupid, but I just appreciate that they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
this album's got Tweezer.
Yeah, Tweezer, which is great.
Which is a give me a fucking break song.
It's
with
great.
Ripped on in a tweezer.
Yeah, come on, it's great. Yeah, when you hear that, you are ready to have a good time. You don't think the riff to Chalk Dust Torture is good?
Chalk Dust Torture is alright. I do like the hook in that song where, like,
yeah.
The phrases...
And I Live While I'm Young, yeah.
Yeah, the phrases, like, come, like, quickly after each other, you know?
Yeah.
Which, I think that song's alright, but...
Yeah, that song has some energy and propulsion to
yeah,
it.
Exactly. Maybe that's it. It's the closest thing to punk that they have.
That's true, and that's pretty fucking cool.
It's not at all close to punk.
Well, they're not trying to be fun.
I know that.
I like the opener. I like Llama a lot. Oh. That was my introduction to Fish, and that was the song where I'm like, all right, this band is definitely for me. Mm-hmm. It's got cool drums in the beginning. It's got nonsense lyrics about Llama to boot. It's fast. It's interesting. It's great. Fish are great. Close the book. They're the best. I love them. Very much. Mango Song is stupid, but I like it. I think the chorus is good. It's a good song. I don't know what it means. It doesn't have to mean anything.
I don't know, like, has Fish always had, like, the fan base that they have also? Like,
Well, they didn't come out of the womb.
Well, I understand that, but, like, in 92, had they already sort of formed this cult that they have now? Like, people would, like, brag about how many Fish shows they've gone to and, like, talk about, like,
I mean,
which live versions were the best and shit.
I mean, it was definitely there by that point.
Yeah.
Because that was, like, what people responded to was their live show, and that was always the focus of who they were as a band. And so, like, and by 92, like, Lawn Boy had come out, and that was, like, a hit on college radio. And so, yeah, like, it was there. It wasn't as enormous as it eventually became, but it was definitely there.
Okay. Because Fish did a lot to, like, establish jam band culture, didn't they? Like...
Oh, yeah.
As far as... Because, I mean, like, as the sort of modern... The template for the modern jam band, as we know it, was kind of set by these guys.
They pretty much invented it.
Yeah.
It was them... I mean,
the Dead, I think, like, kind of had that, but...
Yeah, like, there was the Dead, and there was the Allman Brothers, right. And some other stuff. But it, like... But there's this whole jam band culture now, and I think that started with Phish.
That specifically comes from Phish.
Right. I don't listen to any of those other bands because they're all awful.
Really? You're not a huge Government Mule fan?
No, I'm not into the string cheese incident. Dave Matthews Band are fucking horrible.
Yeah.
That's like really just an affront to God and country.
I mean, are Dave Matthews Band really that far off from Phish?
Yes.
They are?
Oh, yeah. Yes!
You know what?
You know why? Because Phish are good.
I would probably rather listen...
Phish are fun.
I would rather listen to Crash Into Me than any Phish song.
No, you wouldn't. Phish are fun. They're fun. You don't want to dance when you listen to Phish? I do.
You said no, you wouldn't. Well, okay then.
It simply makes no sense to me.
Look, I'm not going to lie. When Crash Into Me comes on the radio, I don't change the station.
Yes, you do. They used to play that at my old job a lot.
Yeah.
Crash Into Me. That song just like gives me the creeps.
Yeah, no, it's filthy.
It's gross.
That's a weird thing to play at a department store.
Yeah, it's gross. Mm-hmm. It's just, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, there's that whole bit at the end about, hike up your skirt a little more.
I know!
Show your world to me.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Show your world to me.
That's so disgusting. He's talking about her butt, right?
I think it's just the whole deal.
The whole package.
Right.
just whatever you've got, just show it.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? That's a very narrow idea of what's valuable about a woman.
I don't think necessarily... well, never mind. All right,
whatever.
This is a dumb topic of conversation.
Yeah, well, okay, Dave Matthews Band are horrible. You would not rather listen to them than Phish.
Okay, fine.
Would you rather listen to Crash Into Me than Chalk Dust Torture?
Maybe not.
See?
All right.
I'm already winning.
All right.
So I guess we can move on to Billy Breathes.
Billy Breathes.
This is my favorite Phish studio album.
Really?
Because it's different. Yeah, you know why? Because it's like, it's different. And it's different from anything they've done before or since. You know what? Usually when Phish, like Phish later albums have a lot of like quiet sort of acoustic kind of songs, but they are awful. But these songs are all good. So...
See, I thought this album was boring as fuck. Like,
I love it.
Way more than the previous couple. Like,
no, I love it.
I felt like the previous couple had like some good jams on it and shit.
This is Theme from the Bottom.
Whereas this one is just like Hootie and the Blowfish.
It is not like Hootie and the Blowfish, I swear to God.
It sounds exactly like Hootie and the Blowfish.
No, it doesn't. This is Theme from the Bottom.
Okay.
This song is great. It has Train Song, which is also great. That has a xylophone in it. So, as Scott Aukerman called it, a bunch of bones bouncing off some skeleton heads. Which is exactly right.
And their song Train Song, named train because song. They wrote it on a train.
That's true.
geniuses here.
That was
band.
A Mike Gordon joint. The album cover is a close-up photo of Mike Gordon, and it's really creepy.
You want to hear something kind of funny about this album?
What?
The first time Pitchfork put together their 100 best albums of the 90s list,
this was on it.
This was on it. Yep.
Of course it was, because it's great.
It was not on the second one.
You know what? They bowed to pressure. They shouldn't have. They should have stuck to their convention. They should have stuck to their principles, because this album is great.
Okay, but maybe the reason they took it off is because by the time that they did the second version of the list, they had realized that this album is not good. At the end of 99, when they did the first version of the list, maybe they still had the idea that this album was good.
This album sweetens with age, my friend.
Really?
You don't like Prince Caspian?
No. I would so much... I would rather listen to those other two albums than this one.
Oh, no. I love this album.
Caroline?
What?
Hootie Blowfish.
It's not like Hootie the Blowfish. It's not.
All I said was Hootie Blowfish. You extrapolated the rest from that.
I know, because that's what you said before, and you are incorrect.
It's not what I said that time.
Okay, what I like about this album is very atmospheric. It takes me on a journey.
I guess if acoustic guitars are atmospheric to you. Acoustic guitars played and recorded blandly.
Yes, okay.
Much like a certain band. Led by Darius Rucker, who had many hits in the 90s.
Remember that Burger King commercial that he did?
No.
He was singing a song about chicken. Was it a chicken fries thing? He was like in a magical land of like chicken fingers, and he was singing this song about chicken, about Burger King. You should look that up. Darius Rucker, Burger King commercial.
Darius Rucker.
That's your homework.
How did they decide Darius Rucker was their man for Burger King?
He has a beautiful voice.
Dude, isn't he like a fairly popular country singer now? Like a solo act?
Yes, he is. I read his Wikipedia page not long ago.
What got you thinking about Darius Rucker?
Well, he's from South Carolina. We're almost countrymen. Okay.
So, a southern boy.
Sure.
So we got to feel a little bit of... We rep for southern artists on this show.
Yes, we do. Fish are not southern.
No, they're from Vermont.
They are from Vermont. That's where my oldest brother went to college. He went to UVM.
Just hanging out with Ben and Jerry.
Yeah, actually, he took my father to the first Ben and Jerry's, like, not long after it opened. He was like, bro, you gotta try this.
He called your dad bro?
I'm sure he did. He was in a fraternity, which I think is why he owned this Fish album.
Almost definitely.
Because he was in a fraternity. They called him Budman.
Budman.
Because he really liked Budweiser.
Oh, I thought you meant marijuana.
No. Well, maybe. But
and that,
the story
maybe
I
that's
heard,
maybe that's just what he told you and your dad.
Maybe. Oh, did you know my mom asked me if I had ever smoked meth?
I saw that, yes. What did you say?
I said no.
Did she
believe
you?
I told her the truth. I said, well, she was like, well, I don't know your friends. I was like, my friends don't do meth. Like, even if that were the case, which it's not, I have a pretty good head on my shoulders.
Hmm. About meth.
And that's not something that seems appealing in any way to me. I've watched Breaking Bad, I know what it can do.
I like to think that I would never do meth. But, like, if there's just some guy, like, sitting in front of me, handed me some meth, I would think about it.
I did have a dream where I did meth once. and it looked like the meth on Breaking Bad because I don't know anything. And then I went to Andrew's house and I told him I was on meth, and he just was like, yeah, meth is pretty great. Then I woke up and I was like, I don't think that that would be his reaction.
Andrew, meth expert.
Yeah, yep. He's an expert on the residents. He's an expert on methamphetamine.
He's a meth spurt.
Yeah, well, Billy Breeze is not an album that has anything to do with meth. This is more of a drifting off to sleep album.
Yeah.
Not in a boring way, but in a way of you're tired and you're drifting and your mind is going to places, and this album is conveying you in a little boat to the land of dreams.
You know what? That's a good way to think about it, that Billy Breeds captures the boredom of being a stoner.
Well, this isn't stoner music for me.
Yeah?
No, this is very much...
It is for everybody else. So.
Yeah, not really. For the most part, but there are people who are like me who, like, fish is not a drug thing for them. They just really like them, and, like, the music takes their mind to interesting places without drugs, just with the power of song.
You know, Nathan Raven wrote that book about...
Yeah, I read it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, of
was it good?
Yeah, I liked it. It was kind of weird because I kind of feel like... I don't know. It kind of had this whole thing of, like, he really want... I mean, he wound up marrying her, but, like, this whole thing of, like, I gotta go out with this girl, and, like, I don't know. It's weird. I'm just tired of men writing about how they want to fuck girls. I think they should stop. I just don't care.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it was good, and he like you, was a fish order, but in the end, he became a fish believer.
Well, he interviewed Violent J recently, and Violent J said he had read the book, and he said that the difference between being a juggalo and being a fish fan is that you have to do drugs to experience, like, the fish concert. Like,
that's wrong.
If you go to a fish concert not on drugs, you're not getting the whole deal. Whereas an ICP show is awesome, no matter what you're on.
Yeah, well, true as that might be, I disagree with him about fish. I've actually never been to a fish show, because when I was super deep into my fish obsession, they were on hiatus. Mm-hmm. And now I really don't have the money to pay for fish. They're expensive. Fish concert tickets are really expensive.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about just following them around. I'm talking about just, like, going to a show when they come near me. Yeah. I don't have the money. But I would I would love to see it. I would love to, like, be with a bunch of people that are waving glow sticks around to the part in Fluffhead that you hate.
Well, I've always said that I would go to a fish show with you, but having listened to, like...
You would have fun.
Having listened to, like, 6 hours of live fish in the last couple weeks, I gotta say, I'm no longer sure I would.
Well, I would respect your choices, because that's the kind of person that I am. But, I mean, you would have fun. You would have a good time.
You think?
Sure.
I mean, worst comes to worst, there's drugs there, right?
Oh, yeah. There's drugs there. There's grilled cheese sandwiches in the parking lot being made by just random people. There are dogs that probably need to be taken better care of. And
didn't you say there are, like, evil fish fans?
Of course there are.
Why?
Because they just, like, don't have joy in their lives, so they beat on people.
What's the point of being an evil fish fan?
Well, I don't know what the point of being a regular fish fan is either, so you might as well be evil.
Well, if you don't, I sure as fuck don't.
Yeah, well, like, you know what? I'm a very directionless person, and I don't know what I want to do in my life, but I can't imagine what circumstances would cause me to follow fish around and, like, live the lot life. All that.
Probably Pete's having a job.
I don't know how people are able to do it, and I don't know why you would want to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you're going to do that, you might as well be evil, too.
So like, is it the ones that follow them around that are evil?
I don't know. I've never been to a fish concert.
Well, you seem to know.
This is all hearsay.
A bit about them.
I know a bit about fish, yeah. I know a little bit about like the lot experience. It is mainly just like people scoring drugs.
Sure.
Dancing around. It's like tailgating,
yeah,
but with more drugs.
Right.
Which is fine if you like to do drugs in public, being surrounded by a bunch of strangers.
Oh, speaking of which, that reminds me. Last week, I was telling the story about how I saw Deer Hunter for the first time.
Yes, yeah.
And I forgot to tell the best part of that story. Like I said before, I had taken a tab of LSD, and mm-hmm. Paige and I were, like, dancing like maniacs this entire show. Like, sure. We were just, like, pogoing up and down and probably bumping into people and pissing them off. But, you know, we were right up front, and we were kind of making a spectacle of ourselves. So after the show, Bradford Cox was just, like, chilling over at the merch table, and... like, we walked over to say hi, and Paige went, "Oh, man, we really enjoyed it." And Bradford Cox went, "Yeah, I saw you enjoying it."
Oh, that's beautiful.
I know, man.
Oh, I love it.
And I got that picture
with
him.
Something, you want to know something about Billy Breeze that's really funny?
Let's hear it.
In a 2007 interview, Tom Marshall, who's the guy that writes their lyrics, because they couldn't do that in-house. They had to have somebody else come up with that shit. Tom Marshall said that Trey Anastasia thought the album cover of Mike Gordon's face ruined the entire album. Feeling Marshall himself shared as well.
That cover is the least of their problems, man. I think they're looking in the wrong place.
No, this album is great. The title track is great. Swept Away is beautiful.
I like the cover. The cover's phony.
Sure. I don't think it fits the music very well.
Yeah, sure it does.
I think the cover should be like a boat on the seas.
Nah. You don't have vision, Caroline.
I know. No, I don't.
They had the vision to put a weird, grotesque image of their bassist's face in close-up.
Yeah, noted weird dude, Mike Gordon.
Is he a weird dude?
I know nothing about him. Probably. He's in Fish.
Right.
So probably.
Do you know anything about any of them?
When I was in high school, I had a huge crush on Trey Anastasio.
Weird.
It was weird. I'm not going to defend that. I think I made a good choice by being gay.
He's not a bad looking guy, but it's sure. Just, he doesn't exactly exude like...
raw sexuality.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I know, like, I know that he got arrested for opiates and is a big believer in the drug court system.
Yeah.
And is better now, and he's been married forever and has kids. And
so they're off drugs now, aren't they?
Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
All of them?
I think so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, like I want people to be off of hard drugs that are not good for them.
Right.
I want people to live for a long time. I want the members of Fish to live forever, and I hope that when I die and go to heaven, like, they're there in heaven and they greet me with my favorite Fish song, which is Mike's song, and they really jam it out. And my whole afterlife is just a Mike song jam.
Man, the devil really does have the best music, huh?
And also, like, and while that's happening, I also spend the rest of my afterlife, like, fucking Patti Smith. It's my afterlife.
And not Trey Anastasio.
Well, you know what? I switch teams.
Yeah, sure.
So...
But he has such cute
red
hair.
I'm sure I would. If it's eternity, I'm sure I would.
You got nothing else to do.
Just once. Got nothing else to do in eternity. I so completely am freaked out by the idea of an afterlife that lasts forever, like even a good one.
Dude, I know.
I'm like, I just want to, like, once it's done, I just want it to be done. Like, I don't want to have other shit that I have to deal with forever.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just hanging out, like, on a cloud.
I'm pretty confident there's no afterlife.
I mean, I am too, but, like, just the thought of it, like, it freaks me out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy Bruce is great. Fish are great. They're the best band of all time.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the live stuff?
Yes, I do. I made Jeff listen to Live at Madison Square Garden, New Year's Eve, 1995.
Supposedly... the best Fish show of all time.
I share that opinion. It's my favorite. I never get tired of it.
So that means I don't need to listen to any other Fish show then.
Yeah, well, I made you listen to a couple. But actually, I really didn't make you listen to that much. But they're just long.
Right.
But this has Mike's song, which is my favorite Fish song ever. And this jam, like, it gets very ambient and very dissonant and very weird near the end of it, and that's great. This actually is an interesting Mike song because it doesn't go from Mike song into I Am Hydrogen into Weekapod Groove, which is how it usually goes. They actually used it as a set closer, and then they opened with this, like, dumb skit about the game.
Yeah, what was that?
I know, it's
what
stupid.
Is that?
You know what? It was a live show. There was a spectacle.
Right, but the
thing.
Audience is, like, eating this shit up. Like, his, like, onstage monologue that's...
Yeah,
like,
about Game Henge.
Yeah.
And then they do Auld Lang Syne, because it was New Year's Eve.
Do they, like...
Then they did Weekapod Groove.
Do they have, like, stage banner that they reuse from show to show? Or do they have, like, stage banter that they reuse from show to show? Like,
I don't think so.
But what is this? What the hell is he talking about, this time factor?
Okay, Game Henge is the, like, mythology that Trey made up for his college thesis, which was this, like, concept album called The Man Who Stepped Into Yesterday. And so, like, a lot of these songs have to deal with Game Henge characters, like Punch You in the Eye, talks about Wilson, who's, like, an evil king. Colonel Forbin is a character. There's the Helping Friendly Book. The Lizards is another one, because that has, like, the Land of Lizards. That's another thing. And the Game Henge Time Factory is just this dumb thing that they did for the New Year's Eve. They wanted everybody to have a good time. They didn't realize that this would also be released as an album that people would listen to forever. So it kind of doesn't translate.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But other than that, this is great. This is one of my favorite musical things that ever happened. It's just great. Everything is great.
Dude,
everything just what
they covered a Collective Soul song.
Yeah, I know.
And made it sound worse.
No, they didn't.
Yes, yes, dude.
No,
they did.
No, it was better.
No, it wasn't.
And it was part of the story.
Well, it was a bad story and a bad cover.
Well, it worked in context.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. Shut up.
Speaking of bad covers, fucking toothless version of Johnny Be Good at the end.
You know what? I don't think anybody does Johnny Be Good well, except for Chuck Berry, who fucking wrote it.
Yeah.
But
they do it extra not well.
Yeah, I just don't think anyone does it well. I do think that the version of Frankenstein is really good.
Yeah, but that's not a good song to begin with, so...
Yes, it is. Shut up.
Frankenstein?
Yes! I love anything that has to do with monsters.
Yes. It doesn't even... It doesn't have lyrics,
though. You know that about me.
It doesn't have lyrics. You like this song specifically because it's called Frankenstein?
Well, I think the riff is really good. I think that when I hear that song, I can imagine Frankenstein shuffling around. And I have a great time.
God. It's just like cringy boogie rock shit. I can't.
No, it's... Well, I kind of like boogie rock more than I care to admit to.
Yeah.
But this also has two Who covers, Sea and Sand and Drowned, which I think are both Ruffinia. And at one of their Halloween shows, they did Quadrophenia in its entirety, and I'm not a massive fan of Quadrophenia anyway, so it's, like, okay. I do like The Who, but I like Live at Leeds and Who Sell Out, and that's kind of, like, where I stop with them. But it's okay, but this kind of... I think they did the Halloween show this same year. So I guess the it was still in the, like, they had them floating around in the set lists. But this also has Runaway Jim. It's a song about a dog that ran away.
That's tragic.
Yeah.
Did you know why else I hate fish?
Why?
Because they ruined Ween.
What?
It's their fault.
They had every right to cover Roses Are Free.
They have the right, but they needed to consider their responsibility in covering songs by bands that are better than them and unleashing fucking waves of jam band fans
into their fucking audience. That isn't their fault, though.
Yes, it is.
No, but they
knew what would happen, and they did
they
it anyway.
They didn't know that, like, all of these fucking hippies would then start flocking to Ween. They didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's not their fault. they just wanted to cover a song that's part of the fish experience. They cover a lot of songs.
They should have been more careful.
Well, they weren't, and you know what? You can never take away the New Year's Eve 1995 show away from them because it's one of the greatest things of all time. What do you think of that?
I gotta be honest, I'm somewhat baffled that you like fish as much as you do. Like,
I kinda am too, but I do.
I really don't get it.
You're
too good for this shit.
No, I'm not. I don't realize that I like fish as much as I do until I get a hankering to hear some goddamn fish songs, and then I'm like in my car and I've got this on and I'm like speeding down 485 and I'm like, you know, I come from the land of darkness. No, I come from the land of... And it's just like I'm having the greatest time ever. Oh my god, yeah. Yo, one time I drove home from your house and I put on fish.
Yeah.
As I was coming home.
And?
I had to hear that Mike song. I had to hear it.
Oh, man.
And I had a great time. And I had to hear Split Open and Melt.
I'm glad. Well... Maybe
aren't you glad that I'm happy?
Maybe it's dishonest to say that I'm glad that you like this, because I'm not. I'm not glad that you like this.
You're not glad that I found something that makes me happy.
No, I'm bitter about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, how do you not like Weekapaw Groove?
If it was up to me, you would never be happy.
I'm more entertaining when I'm sad. That's actually not true.
Yeah, gotta keep this podcast interesting.
No, I'm actually more entertaining when my sadness is in the past and I just have those experiences to draw upon for storytelling.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
What the fuck is wrong with you that you don't think the song Maze is great?
I don't know. Maybe. Just maybe.
You're not a good song. The overhead view is of you in a maze.
Yeah, I'm trying to get that cheese, but just every corner.
It's not about cheese. It's about being trapped in a maze.
Yeah, looking for cheese.
No, because...
there's cheese at the end of the maze.
Wilson,
that's what you're trying
there.
To get to.
Wilson,
yeah.
Put there.
And there's cheese.
Well, fine.
Dude, you know what band is better than Phish?
No band. The Butthole Surfers are better than Phish.
Melt Banana is better than Phish.
Yeah, I feel bad that I couldn't be at that show.
Yeah, you should feel bad, because it was awesome.
I don't think that Melt Banana are better than Phish.
You don't think that Melt Banana are better than Phish?
I gotta be honest with you. I love Melt Banana, but I don't think they're better than Phish. I find it as inexplicable as you do, but I fucking love Phish.
All right.
I just think they're great.
I guess I know that you used to be a big Hootie and the Blowfish fan, so I guess this is like the next step up.
I did not. I used to be, well, I kind of still am, but I've chilled out about it. I used to be a huge Frank Zappa fan.
Right, but there's a little Hootie and the Blowfish sprinkled in there also.
Frank Zappa?
Into your musical intake.
And name another band other than Phish that I like that sounds like Hootie and the Blowfish.
The Grateful Dead?
No.
I mean, the Grateful Dead was just a Hootie and the Blowfish ripoff band.
Well... I have a story to tell you.
About Hootie and the Blowfish?
No, about the Grateful Dead.
Oh, I don't care then.
One time, Andrew came to my apartment, and I had just gotten a vinyl copy of Anthem of the Sun, the Grateful Dead album, and I was really excited. I said, can we listen to this? He said, okay. And you know what he said?
This is terrible. Let's listen to Hootie and the Blowfish.
No, he said, this isn't that bad. So,
ringing endorsement. Yeah, I'm always happy when Andrew gives me the this is okay assessment.
See?
Of something I like.
Exactly.
It's like, all right.
He's a discriminating
Andrew
man.
Andrew doesn't hate this.
Yeah. He doesn't hate the Grateful Dead.
Well, it's weird. Andrew, he likes a lot of music, but not always the stuff that I like, and vice versa.
Yeah, well,
dude, I saw a guy, there was a guy in a Gero Gary Gay 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 shirt at Mel Banana last night.
Did he look like Andrew?
No,
that's
no.
Where I thought you were going to say I saw a dude that looked like Andrew, and I was like, I did too once, and I got really sad, because I missed Andrew.
Andrew and this guy gotta be friends, but he's in Canada.
Yeah, I know. It's, why is he in Canada? That fucking sucks.
I don't know.
I mean, I know why, but like...
No, he's hanging out with his wife.
Oh, like...
I'm Andrew. I'm married.
Look at me.
That's my impression of Andrew.
Look at how happy I am in Canada with my wife, who's Canadian, who I live with in Canada.
That was a pretty sweet Andrew impression.
I know.
I guess you hang out with him long enough, you just pick it up, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. We've all got a little Andrew in us.
Yeah, I also made you listen to a live one.
You did.
Which is actually a compilation of live performances.
Yeah.
So, it's a little bit different, but it's a lot of people's introduction to the Phish live experience, and so I thought you should listen to it too.
Well, you know, it's maybe a little different, but it's also very much of a piece with the larger Phish catalog, in the sense that I dislike it.
Well, it has Harry Hood, so...
Harry Hood.
You know.
Is that another one of their hilarious characters?
No, Harry Hood.
Is he in the maze?
Harry Hood.
Looking for the cheese?
Harry Hood.
Looking
is
for the cheese? Harry Hood?
Harry Hood is not a character. It is, the title is a reference to the Hood Dairy Company, which is a, which was a billboard that was like across the street from the house that they lived in. And Harry Hood was a mascot of the company. Okay. So they just took that and ran with it, okay?
Okay.
Are you happy?
But was he looking for the cheese?
No.
All right.
No, it's just a song. It's just a song that's just good.
Well.
And you should like it, but you don't.
I don't, you're right.
This also has... I appreciate this one because it has a live version of Stash, so you can hear the people clapping, which I think is kind of fun.
Yep.
Like clapping in time? I think that's kind of fun.
Okay.
This also a Slave to the Traffic Light. Come on, buddy.
Yeah, that's a song.
Sure. And it has Bouncing Around the Room, which was like one of their big, probably their most famous song, I would say, amongst like, just like, oh, Fish, yeah, they did that song Bouncing Around
really?
The Room.
What about the one about the tweezer?
Oh, you mean Tweezer?
That's the one.
Sure. Well, most people don't know that song. you do know that song if you listen to Analyze Fish, because it opened it a lot. I miss that podcast, man.
Yep. Rest in peace, Harris Whittles.
Harris Whittles.
Friend of the podcast, Harris Whittles.
Yep, soul connection.
Yep.
With podcasts. And he loved Fish, and he was right, because Fish are great. And if I had my way, everybody would appreciate how great Fish are. But I realize that everyone is different, and everybody has their likes and dislikes.
I asked Zach if he likes Fish, because he seems like the kind of guy that maybe
he does
would.
Seem like a guy that would like Fish.
Yeah.
Does he?
No. He said fuck no when I asked him. He texted me back, fuck no. Friend of the podcast, Zach.
Zach. Well, you know what? He loves the Smashing Pumpkins.
I know.
Like, Zach is a lovely person.
That's the thing. Anything that Zach says, you can just be like, well, he likes the Smashing Pumpkins.
Although, by that same token, you could do the same with me because I love Fish.
Right. So. And you could do the same with me because I like... What's a terrible band?
The Smashing Pumpkins.
That I... Only kind of, though. What's a band that I like that's terrible?
I was going to say U2, but I actually, in the process of listening to the podcast, of preparing for the podcast, I don't think they're as terrible as I previously thought they were.
Okay. A lot of people do, though, so we can go with U2.
Yeah, well...
Unless you got a better one.
No, not really. Your taste in music is pretty...
it's pretty
like,
great, isn't it?
Unfuckwithable.
I mean, I can only look at it from my point of view, but I think it's pretty great.
Sure.
And that's all I got to say about that.
Thank you, special guest Forrest Gump. Can we put this to bed?
Now, they said Vietnam was going to be real different from the United States.
That movie is terrible. Can we put that movie to bed?
I think we have generational nostalgia for it.
It's not good. I don't know really how to talk about like Fish jamming other than like, oh, that it's good and I like it. And it's interesting for me to listen to, but like I can't dissect it.
Right. Well,
I
know.
Could, you know, with it's interesting because like with Frank Zappa, I can kind of dissect it. Like if we ever do an episode on Frank Zappa, I got you covered.
Do you want to do a Frank Zappa episode?
Eventually. Fish is great. I don't know what your problem is. They're really good.
The thesis of this episode.
The thesis of this episode is Fish is great and everybody should give them a chance.
I mean, by all like means, them. Give them a chance. Well, don't let me tell you what to think.
Hey, I got a couple words for you.
Okay.
Set the gear shift to the high gear of your soul. Because you got to run like an antelope out of control.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what?
Is that going to help me in some way?
That shit, when I hear that, still to this day, I'm like fist in the air. Like, yeah! Yes!
Well.
I love run like an antelope. Come on. Run like an antelope.
Okay.
Bro.
Look, I may be a bro, but that doesn't mean I gotta like fish.
Nah, I'm pretty sure it does.
yeah, and I'm not a bro.
I think it's in your contract.
I am normcore, though. Me and Kat realized...
What does that mean?
Me and Kat realized that yesterday.
I don't know what that means. Normcore? You're just, like, a regular guy.
Yeah. I just wear, like, t-shirts and khaki shorts all the time. I don't have a thing.
Yeah, you're, like, you're just, like, a regular person.
I'm very average.
You don't need to, like, turn it... You don't need to turn your lack of a thing into a thing.
But I've always been sad that I don't have a thing, though.
You do have a thing. You're very knowledgeable about.
Yeah, but that's music. You don't know that until you talk to me, though.
Well, like, yeah, you don't know that about me until you talk to me. But that's like a thing.
Yeah,
that suppose. I have.
Does that count as a thing, though?
I don't know. That's a really vague term.
A thing. I don't know. Like I mean, like a look.
Huh.
Like, some people have a look.
I don't really have one.
Yeah.
I don't think. I've tried. I basically dress the same as I did when I was 10 years old.
Right.
So, like, I don't have a look. I think I try to look, like, gay, but people don't... It doesn't come across to people. Yeah. And they just think I'm, like, I don't know. They just think I'm cute because I look like I'm 4.
Well, that's a thing.
No, well, it wasn't intentional.
Yeah, that's true. Some people like have a look that's clearly very, very put together. Like
Paige does.
They're going for something. Yeah.
Paige has a look. Paige like knows how to dress and right. looks cool all the time.
But that's so. Exhausting. Like, how do you do that?
Well, I think you dress in a way where you dress a certain way and you're like, yeah, this is how I'm supposed to dress. Like, it just feels right to you.
Mm.
And for some people, that's, like, more put together and more, like, interesting. And then for other people, it's just like, I look like a slob, and I didn't wash my hair today.
Right.
Which is fair enough. I'm at. I am wearing pajamas with watermelons on them.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, I know, and every time I wear them, my dad tells me how stupid they are and how much he likes them.
I don't know. I mean, and like, Andrew has a thing.
Andrew definitely has a thing. Andrew is, Andrew heard that ZZ Top song, Sharp Dressed Man.
He took it to heart. He took it to heart.
Yeah.
It's like, that is great advice, ZZ Top.
Yeah. I don't even think it's advice. It's just an observation. Women go crazy for a sharp dressed man. That's not advice.
Well, if you're trying to get ladies, it's advice.
I guess.
I mean, because it's generally assumed that heterosexual men want to get ladies.
Sure.
And if they're all crazy for sharp dressed men, then that's what you got to be.
That's what you got to be.
So it's advice.
Yeah, but look at who it's coming from.
Are you telling me that you don't find... fuck, I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, Frank Beard?
No, Frank Beard's the one that doesn't have a beard.
The other two guys.
Right.
Like Ron Top and Harry Top.
That's not their names. That's where they got the name ZZ Top from.
Yeah, well, then it would be like Zachary Top
and Zeke Top.
And Zeke Top.
I feel like I knew several guys named Zeke when I was in elementary school, and
However, I have never
met a guy named Zeke.
I did not know anybody named Zeke. I have known a lot of Zacharies.
Yeah.
I feel like there are fewer Zacharies than there used to be.
Yeah?
Yes. You know what movie is heartbreaking?
Hold on, let me guess. Because you just came from Zachary.
Mm-hmm.
What movie is heartbreaking that has something to do with a Zachary? You are talking about Sucker Punch by Zack Snyder.
No. I was talking about Dear Zachary. The documentary.
Right. I've never seen that.
Yeah, well, it's kind of rough. Also, the guys from ZZ Top are named Billy Gibbons and Dusty Hill.
Okay. Billy Gibbons. Yep. So, yeah.
Billy Gibbs.
Right. Billy Gibbons has had his share of ladies in his life.
Probably.
So, take his advice.
You know that Billy Gibbs is what I call William Gibson?
Billy Gibbs.
Yeah, the writer. I love a lot.
I know who William Gibson is.
Well, not everybody who listens to this will.
Friend of the podcast, William Gibson.
Friend of the podcast, William Gibson. You're great. You're almost as good as Fish.
Do you think Fish is better than William Gibson?
You know what? I don't think it's fair to compare.
I'm talking about within their respective fields. Do you think Fish is better at music than William Gibson is at writing?
I don't know. I really love William Gibson.
You're going to give it to old Billy Gibbs?
I think I have to.
All right.
I really love him.
Well, that's good.
I'm sad because all my books are packed up, so I can't pull out my old Billy Gibbs paperbacks whenever I want to, because I revisit them a lot.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they're great.
I've never read any of them.
Well, they're good.
Neuromancer. So
maybe think about it. Maybe open a goddamn book for once in your life.
I don't read much, man.
I don't really anymore. I'm kind of embarrassed.
Well, I was an English major. And,
I know, I was too.
I hate to say it, but I think it killed my enthusiasm for literature.
It didn't. It kind of enriched me.
Yeah?
Yeah. It helped me a lot.
Well, that's good. I mean, I think like studying that shit,
an English major.
It definitely gave me like a like an analytical framework that I didn't have before. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like just like I learned how to read a lot better than, and in a way that I think I can apply to like all other kinds of art also, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just getting better at, like, interpreting art and sort of understanding, like, its place in culture and all that kind of stuff.
Like, I don't read a lot anymore, but, like, I do watch a lot of movies, and I think about movies the way I think about literature.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly.
I feel like I'm still, like, my brain is still active and stuff. Anyway, this episode is about fish.
Are we done talking about fish, though?
I did make you listen to the first set of their show that took place on December 6th, 1997.
Okay, well, I gotta be honest.
I
couldn't find it. It's not on Spotify, and I couldn't find it on Soulseek. So
fine.
I didn't listen to it.
That's fine. I bought it on livefish.com.
Ah, okay.
So I don't expect you to do that.
Is it like a popular show of theirs? Like,
yeah.
Like, why did you assign me that one?
Because I like it.
Okay.
Well, it has Sample in a Jar, it has Run Like an Antelope, it has Bathtub Gin. Those are kind of, like, I mean, Sample in a Jar isn't really, but it does have, like, Run Like an Antelope and Bathtub Gin are kind of representative songs, and I like those versions a lot, so that was why I picked it. But it's fine, you didn't listen to it, you failed.
You know what? At least I tried.
At least you tried. That's
you are well known for abandoning things that aren't going your way.
What?
In past episodes.
Oh my god, I thought you were talking about my life.
No.
Because I had...
That would have been mean.
Oh my god, because I had that exact crisis today.
No, I meant, like, you didn't finish Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
That's true.
You didn't finish Weird Revolution.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't blame you for not listening to this, like, fish show.
I'm like, pretty sure I wouldn't have gotten anything out of it that
I don't think so.
6 hours of live fish.
Right,
that I
don't
to.
Think so, and I think that, like, you kind of.
I've come as far as I'm going to come with fish.
Your ears aren't trained to, like, really talk about fish. I mean, mine aren't either, but I like them, so.
Right.
I'm qualified to talk about fish.
This shit is beyond me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just way too smart. Like, I can't.
Yeah, well, I do think that compositionally they are very smart. That's why I got so angry with you for saying that they're like Hootie and the Blowfish.
They are, though.
I'm trying to see it your way. I just don't.
I'm talking about sonically. Sonically.
No, I know what you're saying.
Not in terms of, like, songwriting and composition necessarily, but, like, the instrumental palette that they work with.
Oh.
All right.
I just don't hear it. Okay. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know why you're so stupid and why you don't appreciate fish.
All right. Yeah, I'm just being provocative.
Yeah, that is what we're about on Podcast Could Be Your Life.
I was sent here to shake the world up, you know.
Sure.
I'm not...
So we do have kind of an announcement, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a big one.
Yeah, well, this is the last episode of the podcast. For a couple of weeks. because we are getting our lives together.
Yep.
And we just need kind to of. Take a little break from the podcasting game, the high stakes, high energy game of podcasting.
Look, it's only going to be for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks at least, probably 4 weeks at most. I think I'll miss it too much to go.
Yeah, I think
four
I will
weeks
too.
Without
like,
it.
You know what? I gotta tell you, I wasn't feeling it tonight. I was like, I really don't want to record.
Yeah.
But as soon as I had this microphone in my hand,
oh yeah,
honey, my my dumb bullshit just all melted away.
Yeah, it's because you're talking
to... I could talk about fish.
It's because you're talking to me, and I'm a joy.
About fish.
All right, we'll give equal credit to me and fish.
I mean, I kind of got to give the edge to fish here. No, I you know what? I like you more than fish.
Oh, I'm better at friendship than fish is at being a pig.
They never return my texts.
Whereas I can usually do so within a few hours.
Right. I, you know, honestly, I think that fish is ignoring me.
Yeah, well, they've got fucking 3.5 hour shows to play, so.
That's true.
You know, they can't be...
That's true, and you can't be texting them in the middle of a show.
No, because they are playing the wickedest guitar solo you've ever heard.
I mean, they are, though, so... I mean, and listen, Mike Gordon is tearing it up on that bass.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't know... What's wrong with your ears?
Nah, I don't know.
But
either.
To my ears, I'm hearing a whole lot of bass action. That's
cool. I'm thinking that we should end this so I can go ahead and never listen to fish ever again. And we can both move on with our lives as we see fit.
Okay. I'm probably going to listen to fish.
All right,
just like,
well,
in my life, I'm probably going to listen to fish again.
I guess that's your decision. It's a disappointing one. I'm disappointed in you.
I know. I'm disappointed in myself.
Yeah, you know, I hate to say you should be, but I'm going to say that. You should be disappointed.
I mean, you know, I've made jokes. I want to set the record straight. I'm not ashamed of liking fish because fish are great. Like, I'm making jokes, and I know what people's perception of them is and everything, but I just, like, their music always makes me really happy, and that is valuable when you're a person like me that's depressed a lot and that has a lot of issues.
Well, now you're making me feel like an asshole.
No, I'm having a great time. I was so excited to find out, like, what your experience listening to Pitch was like.
Was it everything you hoped it would be?
And more.
Alright.
So, good night, everyone.
Good night.
I love you. give fish a chance.
Don't.
Okay.
They're just as bad as you think they are, even if you've never listened to them.
They're not. They're really good.
Okay.
So yeah. What songs are you gonna pick to open this?
I have no idea.
You should open with Bouncing Around the Room and close with A Pretty Balls Out, Chalk Dust.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm gonna do both of those.
Okay.
Alright. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Alright, we're out of here.
Yep, good night.
Somebody's fright.